Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Hey, thank you, Dude Walker. Dude Walker, good guy. Hey, it's your old buddy Rob, and we're doing the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. Something new for this session of Best Of. I'm hosting this week, and so we're going to listen together, and you're going to love it because I picked these segments all by my lonesome, and they're all most excellent. We're going to have some voices that you haven't heard in a long time, so stick around. Also, of course, Best Of News, Best Of Audio Vault, which is what we called it back then, and we're going to start with a little lesson in jokes. Now, we talk about it. Mike likes to tell an occasional joke. I love to tell an occasional joke. But Oscar is not a joke guy. And we get on the subject of off-color jokes. So sit down, buckle up, and leave the driving to us. This is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
I thought it was a good joke.
It's a great joke.
It's an old man's joke.
You know what it is? Joke. I would qualify that as a golf course joke.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So now the joke that I told last year, that I told you guys about the three women on the beach.
Yes, yeah. I remember.
You're about to be when the tide comes in.
Yeah.
That's the punchline.
Yeah. Yes.
This guy tells a joke to me yesterday. He said, I got another good one for you. And this one, you know, you're old and the guy's looking at you in the eye and you're the one that told him the joke originally.
Really?
But it's commonplace. It's completely accepted. Especially from guys that tell jokes all the time.
Like what it is, it's part of an oral history. It's how jokes live on. They're not always written down.
Speaking of oral history, that was the last joke I was
doing. Yes.
It's true. It's so true.
I always, I guess, because my parents aren't funny. And
they don't laugh at jokes.
They don't make jokes that much. So it's not, my dad tries to make a joke. He doesn't tell
jokes. You've got a great sense of humor, but you don't laugh at jokes.
No. Well, I don't like...
Shtick.
How would I put it? Without insulting Mike, how do I say this? I don't like jokes that aren't appropriate in the workplace. That's the best place.
Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
I don't like, how do I say this? I don't like podcasting or electricity or computers.
Well, you know, his other show is, you call it the No Shtick Zone.
Yes.
A No Shtick Zone. So what it is a...
My worlds are colliding.
Inside
My
lines colliding. That everybody knows in a very small group zone.
Oscar, do you know what a Venn diagram is? Do you know what a Venn diagram is?
I love the Big O and Duke show. I love the Big O.
There's a lot of inside.
Yeah.
A lot of inside.
Well, there's too much inside, in my opinion.
Well, we've actually talked about it on the show. We're like, if you don't know that, like, we have gone as far as talking about and starting a tab, and never was finished. Headshots were taken. It's a story of our lives, of the characters, so you could refer to characters.
Well, like a chart.
We talk about other people so much.
But I will give you guys credit.
Which is the beauty of the program.
I will give you guys credit.
When I know the people, I get caught up in it.
Feel that you are part of an inside joke, and that's what comes with years of listening.
Yes.
The joke becomes rarer and funnier.
That's how I got into the Junkies.
Yeah.
Because I remember listening to the Junkies for the very first time. You're talking to a guy who grew up listening to alt rock radio and not talk radio.
Right. Because you're cool, right?
No. Because I didn't know any better. And my parents didn't throw anything on except for WTOP and then let us use the radio once in a while.
WTOP, your home for alt rock.
No. It was. It was news and weather, and we thought our dad was boring. And
here comes Screwdriver. I'm Neil Augustine.
And then all of a sudden, I'm driving in the car to WVU, and we're listening to the Junkies when they're on at night.
Right.
And I was like, who the F are these guys?
Right.
And it was Cakes talking about working at Toys R Us and still doing the night show. And I was like, this guy's the manager of Toys R Us, and then he goes and does a radio show? How the hell is that working out?
Mm-hmm.
And kept us company all the way to Breezewood. And I was like, I like talk radio. This is crazy. Nuts.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons we listen to comedy all the way down to Florida is because it makes the time go by.
Yes.
And one of the reasons people stack this show for, 8-hour drives is because, it keeps them company.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. But as you were talking, I was reflecting on... down here in Cocoonville,
right,
and Midwestern Cocoonville, where the joke they love.
Indiana South, Mike.
That I've been told like 11 times now that is so inappropriate that I can't share it with you here. And they just love it because it's got all the elements.
Can you even give the punchline without it being inappropriate?
I can give the two elements. It involves the Kardashians.
Right.
And a golf ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm certain that this joke has existed in other iterations for many years.
Oh, of course it has. Yeah, of course it has.
It's been upgraded.
But they love the zeal that it's like, is one of the issues that I have.
Golf course, like, or golf jokes in general are, I think, for eternal history have been, I've been told.
Off color?
Yeah, off color.
That's a great racist word for it.
Right?
So let me give you, I'll give you a non-racist golf joke. Okay. But it's misogynistic. It's always at someone's expense.
Off color is, I guess, the best way to say that it never really was something you could talk about or say at work with no random.
Well, I would say not even just work. I would say off color indicates that the joke for some reason does not play in all environments.
It's not just so it's not just racial.
Right, right. It could be anything.
So there's a golfer.
Right.
So there's a golfer and he has his regular Saturday foursome. And this guy is all business. He doesn't pay attention to anybody else. He doesn't engage anybody else in conversation, and he doesn't because he likes to play fast. He likes to get his rounds over. Fast. And so he's playing golf with his buddies, and he's an old guy. He's been at it a long time, and he rarely says anything. And they finally get to the 17th green. And the 17th green is a hole that is right next to the main drag, the main route that goes through town. And they're sitting there, and the guy, you know, is just playing his usual fast round. And suddenly, a funeral procession goes by, and they're on the left, and the guy stops. Like right in the middle of his putt, he stops and he takes off his hat and he waits till the last car, the hearse of the funeral procession, goes by first. But he waits till the last car goes by. This is like 11 minutes, large, huge procession. And one of his playing partners is just stunned by this. And he said, let me ask you a question. Why would you possibly stop in the middle of playing one of the fastest players? You never pay attention to anything and take your hat off and watch that funeral procession go by. And he says, well, I should. I was married to her for 18 years. Bada bing, bada boom.
See?
Look, he big liked
win.
That one.
Big win.
He liked that. Yeah. That's
you did. You know what? Yeah, you told it great, though. It's a good
telling joke.
It was great. It was great. It was great.
On the Mike O'Mara show. But
there are, I don't think you said anything inappropriate.
Rob, you knew the punchline late when I started, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know?
I had not heard that joke.
Yeah.
There are times that. I will tell. I would say some older folks in my life in a very kind and willing way, including I would say neighbors of mine or people in my life that say certain things adjectives at times, use certain adjectives or verbs, and I'll say, hey,
nouns are usually the trouble.
I say I don't think that word I know that word isn't used anymore to describe that, and they're like, you're probably right. And then there's this awkward silence of, am I mad at them or not? But I'd rather help than hurt. That's all I know.
That Kardashian joke?
Yes.
I'm one more effer away from telling it to me. And if that, I'm just going to be like, okay, enough.
I'm curious.
And I don't even like the Kardashians.
I'm curious. And I said it earlier, Oscar, do you know what a Venn diagram is?
I do.
Okay. So I would say that the Venn diagram, the overlap.
Please explain to me what a Venn diagram is.
A Venn diagram is a
food pyramid.
No, it's not. It is a graph of circles. And like for our show, the representation would be a Mike circle, a Rob circle.
Like a mobile.
And it's not. An Oscar circle. And what overlaps, say, this, you put
was
the circles together.
Was it created by Porter Venn? TMOS listener Porter Venn?
Ooh, I'm pretty sure it was.
Deep cut.
Okay. Like where my circle overlaps with your circle, it would be stuff that we share in common. And like where the circles trisect would be stuff that we all share.
Yes.
Say our love of family would be something that our Venn diagram is shared for all of us.
Three pies.
Yeah.
But you can tell a joke. I tell jokes. But in Oscar's diagram, I'm curious, you deal with people, you do business things, you talk to clients, you go out, you glad hand, you do things.
Yes.
Do you have any jokes in your arsenal if you're called upon?
I am not the joke
I understand, but just as a guy would be prepared.
Don't say on the show as well. on all the shows I work on.
No, but do you have like a simple, I won't say a golf course joke, but just like a simple storytelling joke that you have in your arsenal?
A horrific joke.
Is it one that would play here?
I would say what Mike did before the show was so, it was baby powder compared to the napalm that I threw down and had a bad experience with. When someone had to say, hey, I didn't think that was funny.
Oh,
that was actually racist.
You didn't know you were
that
right.
I just didn't know. But it stopped in my tracks.
Right.
They're like, and I might have been, I would say, 20 years old. Stopped in my tracks and said, that's not funny. That's completely not inappropriate, but.
You should have one clean joke in your arsenal, just in case.
I think of all the jokes written, men with no arms and no legs probably have been the recipient of more jokes than they need to be.
And I can think of one of the shortest ones, and the punchline is, hello, my name is Matt.
Okay.
I can break balls with the best of them, but I don't have...
Here's what you bring.
Yeah.
Rob and I don't sit here and tell jokes. No. We all tell stories, but... Your contribution is you bring when something really horrible happens. Not the foreign effect at all. I don't think of you as the foreign effect. You're not you're not really Bolivian in my eyes.
Human in my eyes.
I mean, you're not like, you know, it's like you come from
an android.
But that's about it. You are, and you'll be happy to hear this, Oscar.
Foreign parts.
Consider you fully assimilated.
Oh, thank you.
There
Mike.
You go.
Yes.
But you
American
bring,
me.
You bring these soul-bearing, tragic stories, tragic tales. That's your thing.
Hell of a storyteller. Absolutely.
Rob is Captain Shtick, where in the middle of the show he'll have the one-liners and he'll write brilliant stuff. Yeah. And then I just tell stories basically. That's kind of what I do.
We all go in different. And I think that's one of the reasons why this show works so well.
The show is fantastic. We're just talking about our interpersonal dynamics,
right?
So yesterday there is what I think was a fantastic inside joke that's had here on the show that I can't talk about on air at all.
Damn it! We're frustrating our listeners because there's so much we can't.
But I can
air.
I can tell you later. Right. I stewed on this joke. Or this inside joke that that Rob and someone else was having.
Since I'm out of the loop on this, can you give me the principles you're talking about?
It would be scorched earth if I said that.
Yeah, like, I can't reveal my co-conspirator.
I can't. But people
would be super pissed.
Look at my eyes. When I tell you, I'll tell you after the show. And I found out the inside joke, and I just. I didn't reprimand, but I said, hey, not the place for this.
I believe the phrase was, Rob, don't be a mean girl.
Yes. And then.
And I said, Oscar, you're right.
And then he doesn't know, I stewed on this this morning, last night, today, where I was like,
It upset you that much?
It upset me that much.
Or you were worried about it that much?
I'm not worried about it. It concerned me enough to know that I need to talk to Rob again after the show. Because what he is creating is a negative dynamic.
Right.
No.
Yes.
Right. No, it's a celebration of people.
Rob and I have worked together for an amazing... What was that? I heard something.
That was a successful man in a Maserati driving by the
wow,
studio.
Wow, yes. That was a...
No, I believe that was a Kia Stinger.
Rob and I have worked together a long time.
Yes.
Yes.
Rob and I have worked together for a very, very long time. So I know where, and Rob knows where my bones are buried. I know where his bones are buried. Would it be safe to say that in a previous life, you had a bond with a coworker that was solely, as far as comedy concerned, was almost exclusively based on one type of humor?
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Right.
And I would say also both I and that other co-conspirator were very good at it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
to be clear, this
and it's
was
not healthy. It's not a
to
good
be clear,
thing.
No, Rob's
it
infraction.
It annoyed me.
Well, I wouldn't say infraction. I would say misstep. Was not racial, was not cruel.
I didn't say racial.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. But for me, it felt like if you are a true friend and a true businessman, you should discuss this with your friend again so they know that they're clear about what you feel like is appropriate and not appropriate.
Exactly. Crystal clarity is what we require.
Wow. It sounds like we're very close to the inner circle here.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Wow. Yeah, the Venn diagram.
That's amazing.
Right. May I tell you a golf joke, Mike?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
So a guy is teeing up to hit, and the starter, you know, the starter sometimes has a microphone and a PA to make sure.
Or a gun. They goes.
Psh. Well, they seldom have a gun because it's very noisy.
That's the starter for a race.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. And the starter says, not "Well, the gentleman on the first tee, please play from the men's portion of the team. The what is it? The bull.
Men's team.
The men's team. Please play from the men's team.
Why was he at the ladies?
He was at the ladies' tee. And so he's continuing to address the ball, and the starter says, "Excuse me, will the gentleman at the first hole play from the men's tee?" And the guy just totally disregards him, not even paying attention. And the starter says, "Hey, you in the blue shirt and the white pants, would you please play from the men's tee?" And he turns and he yells, "Would you please let me take my second shot?"
Bada bing, bada boom. See, the first shot, Oscar, didn't go past the ladies' tee.
Yeah.
And do you both know the rule, the joke? It's a joke rule.
What is that?
If you don't hit it as far as the golf's a weird game. If you don't hit it that far, as far as the ladies tee, do you know what you're supposed to do?
What?
I don't know.
Play the rest of the hole with your wiener hanging out.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't happen. It's just it's
that rule was invented by Arnold Palmer. But you know, you say golf is a funny game. I think that's why there are so many golf jokes. Is that
right?
The game has such
that would affect your swing, though.
Not what? Mine.
Not mine.
Oh, I heard a massive yellow laugh. Oh my god!
Rarer than hen's teeth, they are.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my.
The best of the Mike O'Mara Show with your charming host Rob Spiewak. This next segment actually has a sort of a backstory. We've always enjoyed classic old, like 1940s or 50s, pieces of advice that they would give to brides to make sure their husbands were happy. They were comically out of date until Oscar found a relationship expert on TikTok. And it turns out some of these outmoded thoughts never really went away. So let's do the TikTok thing right here on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
TikTok.
Internet.
Bitcoin. There are a lot of internet celebrities that claim to be professionals, experts, and they will take to now TikTok and give you some advice.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's dating. So I'll get some of that in my feed. Somehow the algorithm doesn't realize I'm happily married. So I'll get a lot of that dating advice within the feed.
Wonder
right?
why that algorithm happens.
Sheer data. So
questions I get asked.
And it is roughly 1 a.m. and I'm like, what is this lady talking about? Stops me in my tracks. I save the video and I'm like, I gotta send this to the fellas for the show this weekend. So I send it to you in the morning. Before I send it to you, know that I played this video in bed with my wife, and out of the corner of her ear, she says, "What are you listening to?" I'm like, "A relationship expert."
I'm sure she's an expert.
On TikTok, she says, "Who is this whore?" Oh,
so, yeah, so she was put off. So it's safe to say Shannon was put off by this video.
Now, that's the reaction I was looking for.
Okay, good.
Because I knew this would invoke some sort of like response from my wife. Because she'll play people talking about chakras and energies and
crystals.
Rising sun, Capricorns, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say a word. I just let her live her life.
Sure.
The first time I put this on, I invoke a reaction.
Yeah. A horrible word. A horrible word.
You know,
word.
And we're a different world. We're all trying to get to evolve. Even though, and I have to say this before we play this video, that I feel as though when I make my little comments, you know, when I will always say, when it comes down to the practice of living life, I believe that I am one of the most open-minded individuals in the world, and
now,
I would live my life that way.
Mike, you're a loving person. I know that, or else we wouldn't be talking about it here on there.
We'd
be trying to hide it, right?
Right.
So,
but you guys know me in my real life, and
I get it.
We just don't roll like that anymore.
You're right.
And my
anymore
this clip here
is. Yeah.
It was so calculated in what the person was trying to do. And then for me, it was calculated what I was trying to do with my wife. It's basically just like needle her because I thought this was hilarious.
Yes. For the purpose of comedy, yes, you're playing this woman.
Yeah. I asked Shannon, I said, do you think I'm a high quality man? And she says, yeah, I do. I said, that's interesting because I've just found a TikToker talking about what high quality men are looking for
and what they need.
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay.
I think we play the tape and we'll discuss afterwards.
Today, I'm going to talk about what high quality men look for in marriage potential and what turns them off. First is respect and peace. A lot of men work really hard or they have long business hours and they want to come home to peace in their home. I've heard so many men say, I loved my wife. I was just tired of getting yelled at all the time. And that inevitably led to their divorce. He doesn't want constant complaining, nagging. Women can kind of have a tendency to nitpick at things. They want to feel like you respect them. And they also want to feel peace when they're around you. Allow him to lead. Trust in his capabilities to do so. Have an open heart and have vulnerability with him. These are character traits of the girl archetype. She trusts her man. She's got an open heart. She's loving. She's vulnerable with him. She brings him that feminine, loving energy that he needs.
That's just a portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
It really does sound like, and there was a thing that was bouncing around almost pre-internet. It was faxed a lot to DJs, and it was the 1950s guide to a
1943
wife.
Edward Podolsky from How to Be a Good Wife,
Mike,
by Edward Podolsky.
Way ahead of me, so please take it.
Don't bother your husband with petty troubles and complaints when he comes home from work. Be a good listener. Let him tell you his troubles.
Yes.
Yours will seem trivial in comparison. Remember, your most important job is to build up and maintain his ego, which gets bruised plenty in business. Morale is a woman's business. Let him relax before dinner. Discuss family problems after the inner man has been satisfied. Or heaven forbid you ask your husband for anything. That's because it's otherwise known as nagging.
Right.
From Sex, Satisfaction, and Happy Marriage by Reverend Alfred Henry Tyrer in 1951.
So it really hasn't advanced that much.
Okay.
I verily believe that the happiness of homes is destroyed more frequently by the habit of nagging than by any other one. All right, Play, are you playing more of her? Okay. Right now,
this
now?
Is
right,
her. This is, in fairness to her, this is her response when someone wrote, I agree with what you said about high quality men. Can you make one for what women look for from high quality men?
Okay.
Which is fair. We haven't heard
this
that side before.
This is interesting.
Before,
I want
right?
to see what this 1950s lady has to say.
Fall in love with the things men say. This is why men who are smooth talkers always get pretty far with women. I'm not saying to be disingenuous. To be expressive with your woman is very rare and very appreciated. My partner writes me lengthy love letters still to this day. He praises me. He compliments me. He makes me feel special. He makes me feel like the most beautiful woman in the world. And I would appreciate this more than just getting like a Cartier watch. The more he makes me feel desired by him, the more I'm able to open up my heart and fully love him and be fully vulnerable with him. Women shut down the moment they start feeling insecure. If you're on social media following a lot of these Instagram models, liking their posts and commenting on them, the girl you're with is going to start to feel insecure and she's going to start doubting herself and doubting you as well. This is a very common complaint I hear from women.
Are you listening, HBS?
But to a woman you're with, it will seem like you're disrespecting her. You can't be all talk and no action. Follow through on your words. Be consistent. Consistency is key for earning
her trust. Stop. Why are you nodding your head so passionately?
Loyalty and dependability. For a woman to open up to you and love you, she has to respect you. Spend quality time with her every day that is uninterrupted. No cell phones, no entertainment. Be fully present and available to her. Be emotionally available and emotionally mature. Listen to her when she's upset. Sometimes a woman doesn't want you to find solutions why she's upset, because I know men like to find solutions. Sometimes she just wants you to listen to her. One reason why I really love my partner is because when I'm with him, he's fully present with me. He doesn't look around the room. He's not distracted. He's not looking at his phone. He's fully with me.
I love my partner.
Oh, excuse me. Something happened.
Oh, I agree with her.
These are all valid. She said, you have to do your clapping push-ups. You have to do them. You have to pay your taxes. You have to pay attention. You have to be respectful. These are all things.
You have to get a watch from Cartier.
No, she said she would rather.
She doesn't want to watch from Cartier.
This is why you can take a piece of maybe just one or two nuggets of advice from there. I got two nuggets for you.
Oscar seems to be like crazily nodding his head here.
Yeah, and you.
I agree.
What I love is that Oscar's nodding his head. You're nervously looking to see if Carla can hear it.
And no, I was not. That's not true.
You twice looked to your right. You did.
No, because my son came into the kitchen. Oh, okay. I've got a new layout here. Yeah, okay,
so
I am sideways now where my back was to everybody and now it's just we've rearranged the room.
We've got both sides. Yeah. In play.
I don't mean to insult, but I was thinking about HBS, your dad.
Right.
Who I think probably, I think your Kathy, his wife, is probably a wonderfully suffering soul that he not only posts the pictures that he does, but that he says yay to every piece of ass on the internet.
I don't think she suffers.
You don't? What qualifies you to answer, to say, I don't think she suffers?
Because I've spent time with them.
Happy.
They're very happy together. Yeah, they love each other very much.
They might be, but I mean, it's still the what she, I was just listening to what she was saying.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Can I just answer before you go?
Yeah. I just have to say this. When you heard about emotional availability and emotional sensitivity, I know for a fact that that is something I need to always be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
That to manage my emotional maturity and to be present when the time, when it's necessary.
I agree with that.
You know,
and also a thing she said that did make sense is that it's not always about finding a solution. And I think that there is a strong trend in a lot of guys, when there's a problem, you just want to fix it. And sometimes that's not what they want.
Well, and they want probably
support, an ear.
An ear.
Yeah.
And, I think we could all do better with that. Men everywhere.
Agreed.
Probably. Right?
What about the women?
As far as the women, I think that
the advice
ridiculous and as 1950s-ish as it sounds, that in a circumstance where, for example, say you're in a circumstance where the woman comes home from work first, or she is in the house all day, and the guy comes home from slaying the dragon, and he walks in, and he happens to have had himself a day. I don't think it is completely beyond the pale that comment about peace or having the sensitivity to be aware that he might need to decompress is complete, but I think also that there are no universals. I think that's the key. You're dealing with somebody who may have had a horrible day at home or a horrible day at their job.
Yeah, women have horrible days too.
Communicative. There is no, the thing about all these 50s and 40s articles written by men, I should say, women are not allowed to have feelings.
Right.
Really, when you read that, and that's not cool, you know?
And you can find this this young lady on TikTok. For those of you out there that want to troll your families at Thanksgiving, feel free to just play this in the background, in the corner.
Yeah, if you have,
throw
if
it
you
to your
have,
smart TV.
If you have some women who will be, who you know, you will light the bottle rocket if you play this video.
Yeah.
If you want to have fun, go ahead and credit it, because that would be fun. It's like, and if you're doing it and you want to do the shtick, and I'm sorry I'm ruining Thanksgiving dinners here, but if you want to put this, like,
them?
You know, I saw a TikTok video, and for a young woman, she makes an amazing amount of sense. Can you play the first part of it again? And you play this at Thanksgiving dinner. And if you have a, the type of, dinner companions that I'm going to have, you'd have yourself a nice little Donnybrook on your hands, and it might be fun.
Don't you think it would play perfect between dinner and pie?
Again,
I think it would be fantastic at the end of the regular meal.
The title is, what high quality men are looking for.
Today we're going to talk about what high quality men look for in marriage potential and what turns them off. First is respect and peace. A lot of men work really hard or they have long business hours and they want to come home to peace in their home. I've heard so many men say, I loved my wife. I was just tired of getting yelled at all the time. And that inevitably led to their divorce.
And that's all you need. Yeah. And that's all you, and then just sit there. And then what the look should be around the table, and it's really even better if a guy plays this.
Yes,
look around the table and go, I think she makes a lot of sense. And you get up,
and then follow
wild
it up
animal.
With a little more coffee.
Coffee for everybody.
Is there any coffee?
You know, because they're telling us what? They're telling us to keep politics out of the Thanksgiving table this time.
Yeah.
So I think everybody can agree on that, that that's not what people want. I think really, collectively, Americans are going to want to chill on that.
Yeah.
Because I think we all know how divided we truly are in this country. But that, you can sneak that one. I didn't think this was political.
No.
I thought this was just a little sociology, you know, that I'd throw
in. And if you want to get political, you don't think Jill Biden is a good wife? She's a great wife. She listens to his problems. Doesn't bring anything
up. Oh, my God. Oh.
But it shows
just one last
sides.
Thing
shows
here for
sides.
This is not for Thanksgiving dinner, but this is from the Reverend Tyrer in 1951.
Sunnier days.
And he says, and I think this can apply every day after the Thanksgiving dinner.
All right.
A social service meeting, an afternoon tea, a matinee, a whatnot is no excuse.
A whatnot?
A whatnot.
It's a whatnot.
Is no excuse for there being no dinner ready when a husband comes home from a hard day's work. Housekeeping accomplishments and cooking ability are, of course, positive essentials in any true home, and every wife should take a reasonable pride in her skill. Happiness does not flourish in an atmosphere of dyspepsia.
Oh, I hate dyspepsia.
Yeah, that's interesting. Bad cooking is responsible for dyspepsia.
Yeah.
Dyspepsia is responsible for grouchiness and irritability. Grouchiness and irritability lead to quarrels and squabbles. And bad cooking, which is the usual thing in the average American home, has been responsible as much as any other factor for driving the husband to the saloon.
Mm. Oh my God.
And to other places.
You go to the saloon because your wife dried out or whatnot.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
The Mike O'Mara Show, Best of Edition. And I think you're going to like this. Maddie Masiello. This is when Maddie got herself a cat. Check it out on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
So, Maddie, I know that you had a your Christmas gift you got from John Mack was a song.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you, for his gift, gave him something of a promissory note.
Yes.
Something that was yet to come.
Yes.
So what happened to you over the long weekend?
So while Pony was getting a new car, I got a gently used cat.
Yay! I don't have music for a new cat. I'm sorry.
Well, next time.
So tell us about your cat and the process. What? Because cats are basically
not new.
Well, we wanted to adopt one, so we went to a PetSmart that does an alliance with the Rescue Association.
And by the way, I've always wondered this. Is it PetSmart? Like Kmart, or is it Pet Smart, like it's smart for your pets?
It's Pet Smart.
Which is Pets Mart.
No,
Pet
no,
Smart.
No, it's P-E-T and then Smart.
So it's like Smart Pets.
Pet Smart, yeah.
Shop at Pet Smart.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'll buy that.
Glad we cleared that up.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I get in the way of your fascinating story?
No, I'm just saying.
Was it? I've seen these adoption days for dogs. I didn't know they had it for cats as well.
Yeah, I think the one we went to only had it for cats.
Okay.
So it was a lot of fun. We had a bunch of different options.
Mm-hmm. Did you go in with a preconceived desire for a cat, like long hair, short hair, color?
Not really. We just wanted something that was very affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
And more of like a lap cat than anything else.
I see.
But other than that, we didn't really have a preference. And so this, by the time we got to the third place, we had seen a bunch of cats from the Humane Society.
You mean third, like, actual location?
Third location, yeah. So we saw a bunch of cats earlier in the day, and none of them really seemed to fit great.
Uh-huh.
So we went to this PetSmart in Rockville, and we got there, and immediately we let this one out, and he just sat in our laps for, like, 20 minutes.
He was alive?
Totally, yes.
Okay.
But totally undisturbed. Just really like purring so loudly, really enjoying himself. And then we played with him, and it just seemed like a really good fit. So we brought him home on Sunday.
Aww, that's sweet.
Does he have a name?
Yes, his name, well, his full name is Tiramisu, but we call him Terry.
Okay.
And this is a name that he came with, or one that you selected?
No, he came with the name Hunter, which I didn't like. And I was kind of set
a docile cat like that named Hunter?
Yeah, I didn't seem to fit. But Terry. I knew I wanted to name him after some sort of food. I did think if we got an orange cat, I would name him after a cheese. But he is black and white, so that didn't make sense.
Short hair or long hair?
Long hair.
Okay.
What type of cat?
I think he's a tabby.
Tabby cat?
I think so.
How old?
A year and a half.
Well, not bad.
That's good.
The kitten
past
stage.
Past kitten, but yeah. He's like young enough. He's still
kitten.
Playful. Kitten.
What's the backstory?
I don't know much.
Broken home.
He
was Brad and Angelia's cat.
I know for the past like few weeks, he was from North Carolina when they rescued him. And so the past
Does he meow
weeks,
with an accent?
No, he meows a lot, though. But seems very well adjusted, and he was microchipped. So I think somebody cared about him. So I'm not really sure. I don't know if he was abused or what.
You can do 23andMe on him, figure out what his lineage. They have that for dogs, by the way. They try to sell that to you at the
23andMe.
I've done it.
Yeah.
And we wrote a letter back. We wrote a letter back saying we think they're wrong. So he obviously does not have German Shepherd in him.
Do you? So you're 3 days into owning a cat.
Yes.
Has anyone? And you get all kinds of advice. Has anybody told you about the city kitty? I guess toilet bowl cover.
No,
yes.
I have not heard that.
You sure it's pronounced city?
City, yes.
Okay, just checking.
So this toilet bowl cover is a system that helps you train your cat to go in the toilet and not in its litter box.
I've seen cats that do this. As a matter of fact, my grandparents had friends that trained their cats to do this many years ago.
If you can execute this, and cats are smarter than everybody thinks, it'll save you a lot of time and angst between you and your beau on who's going to clean out the litter box.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. He did say the other day, he looked at me, he was like, I have a feeling I'm going to be the one to do this every time. So he seems okay with it.
I'm glad he's
accepted it.
Glad he knows his place.
Yep.
Exactly.
Did he Venmo you for, he said, hey.
No, this was my gift.
Yeah, but what about the accessories? You need a scoop?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, or we did get all of that.
Oh, he's not using his hands, is he?
Ew.
No.
Hold on a second. That's a great question. Did you buy all the cat accessories, or did he have to go 50-50?
He had to go 50-50.
I see.
Oh, boy.
You know what this is like?
I was dreading that question.
This is like the 10-year-old that buys his dad a basketball for Christmas. He knows where it's going to end up. So let's run down the list of accessories. Was there a collar?
We got him a harness thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can possibly walk him if you want.
Well, yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. Did you get him a tag that has Tiramisu written on it?
No, not yet.
Okay. Litter box?
Yes.
Litter?
Yes.
Scoop?
Yes.
Did you get any sort of deodorizing powder for the litter box?
Well, the one we got, it's like it's pellets, which I think are deodorizers.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's very environmentally friendly.
What can I say?
What is the time that a Venmo is received after a transaction is made on your card? Like, at what time do you send that Venmo request to your boyfriend for 50% of what he owes?
I think at the end of the day, once we were getting everything settled, and I think he reminded me, actually, because the agreement was I would get the cat, but we would split
all the... Oh, there's an agreement.
An agreement is an agreement.
Sure. Yeah. It's a handshake deal.
So at that point, you could have been, when he asks, this poor guy, when he asks, he's like, hey, make sure you send me that Venmo.
Yeah. Hey, everybody does that.
Maddie?
What about you... You being like, don't worry about that. I got this, honey.
Yeah.
It was a lot of stuff.
The scoop's on me.
I'll get the scoop.
And what about toys? Oscar brought up toys.
Yeah, we got a lot of toys.
What'd you get?
A stick that comes with three different attachments at the end that you play with.
Mm-hmm. And now that's for the cat or for John?
For both.
Okay.
They both got a kick out of it. And then these little, they're like jingle balls things.
Yeah. Okay.
You just like roll around with like feathers and everything on them.
Now, may I offer a point? I offer a tip. This is one you may want to have to pay for on your own because it's going to be a little more expensive than a jingle ball, a laser pointer.
Yes, I suggested that too.
Gotta get one. Gotta get one.
When we were adopting him, though, the lady there had a laser pointer out and he didn't seem too interested, but I think we should try again and get one anyway.
Okay.
Does he sleep in your bed? How's the first night?
Like, well, he has been sleeping in our bed. And up until like 5 a.m. rolls around.
What do you mean our bed? You mean you two? You're not married.
What?
They live together.
Yeah, well, if I had said my bed, you'd been like, oh, this poor guy.
I wouldn't say that. I'd say it's okay to be old-fashioned.
He paid for half of that.
I've got a daughter, you know.
Okay, so what happened 5 a.m.?
He wakes up and he comes. He has been sleeping at the foot of the bed.
And to be clear, this is the cat.
Yes.
He walks up on our heads and just is meowing, putting his paws on our face, not like scratching or anything, but he's nuzzling up against us for the past two nights at 5 a.m. And he won't let us go to sleep. He just wants attention. So I am exhausted.
Oh, my God. But this is true. True. You just don't have responsibilities, but you're now caring for another living thing.
I know.
Thing.
Yeah, you're doing the mammal thing.
I know.
Wow.
So do you think you'll be able to schedule shift this, or are you going to be a 5 a.m. lady now?
I am not sure. I would let it, because after, so we'd let him play with us for like an hour or something. And then I think at like 6 a.m. this morning, I took him out and just closed the bedroom door.
Yeah, but then the meowing starts?
No, he wasn't meowing and he wasn't scratching at the door, which I heard could happen as well. So I think that might be the solution. But I also just want to make sure he's comfortable enough for like this first week or so.
Sure.
So I do want him to sleep in the bed for at least a few more nights.
Well, take my suggestion. Just get him a deck of cards.
He can play solitaire.
Exactly.
Those little claws can pick up cards. Just flip them.
Yeah, do the thing where he makes the rainbow of cards. Beautiful. Wonderful. All right. I have some
congratulations.
Stuff. Yeah,
thank
good
you,
job.
Thank you.
That's the first step to having a family.
Terry.
Oh, no.
Rob Spiewak here with the best of the Mike O'Mara Show, and I wouldn't be doing my DJ duty if I turned you loose today without getting you up to date. So here is a fine news report that will make sure you know what's going on. Of course, the news is 2 or 3 years old, but still, you need to know it. Let it serve as a refresher course. Good? Is anyone buying this? Doubtful? Check it out on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
News!
News! Pretty prepare, set up your tray.
Are those the lyrics to the news stager?
I'm multilingual, translating into the Russian. Sleep most in Spanish. Italian. Salabale banana. Anyway, I'm sorry. A few days after David Cassidy's death last week, his daughter, Katie Cassidy, who is beautiful. I saw a picture.
Gotta
of
be.
Her, she shared his final words, and they're a little depressing. She tweeted, quote, "My father's last words were, so much wasted time." God, is there anything sadder than that?
Wow.
This will be a daily reminder for me to share my gratitude with those I love as to never waste another minute. Katie plays Laurel Lance on the CW show Arrow. I'm not familiar with that show. Anyone? Anybody
no.
in the class?
Yeah, no? It's pretty good. I mean, it's one that's made for kids, really.
She's a handsome lady.
Third generation showbiz. She got to be beautiful.
It's unclear exactly what David was referring to. It could have been his early death, but it's been he'd been open about his struggles with alcohol and substance abuse in his later years, and those troubles had caused rifts in his family. You know, I'm thinking of when I've indulged too much and... those are, you know, when you really think about alcohol in particular, when you have those roaring nights where you recover for the next 1 or 2 days, those are definitely wasted days.
Of course.
You're useless. You're not good to anybody. So they're really kind of... Is there anything really better than waking up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on a Saturday morning at like a crack of dawn on a holiday weekend and you're feeling good?
Especially during pie season.
In September to September, if you're keeping score at home. Josh Hutcherson has a secret he's been holding inside for about 15 years. This is the kid that was in... the Polar Express with Tom Hanks.
Oh, the little boy voice, yeah.
He's not a little boy anymore. Well, he once let one rip and farted on Tom Hanks. And he finally fessed up on The Late Late Show with James Corden.
That's awesome.
It was during the making of the 2004 holiday classic, and Josh was only 9 at the time, so, you know, we cut him a little slack on that. They were filming a scene where the kid played by Josh was skiing along the top of the train with a hobo played by Tom. Now, the Polar Express was a motion capture movie, so they actually had to be in the same positions as their characters.
Right.
At one point, they're both standing on the same pair of skis with Josh in front, and that's when he let one rip. Josh said, quote,
That was my first big movie. I was working with Robert Zemeckis and Tom Hanks, and I just farted in his face. Instead of playing it cool, Tom Hanks was like, whoa, whoa, oh my God, this kid, what the heck? Oh my God. You can see Tom Hanks doing
too,
that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, next time you're watching the Polar Express and they're on the skis with the hobo, just know that's what
I've
happened.
I've never seen that movie. I'll have to look at it.
I like it.
Kids like
it's kind of cool. It's kind of neat.
I liked it more than the kids, actually.
Oh, wow.
Neat looking film.
I'd like to go back and see it. I saw it when it first came out. I'd like to go back and see it again.
It's President a great book. Trump, if you ever have a kid, get the book. The book is awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
President Trump took to Twitter on Friday to announce that Time Magazine was going to make him their person of the year for the second year in a row. But he wasn't interested because they were noncommittal. This is squarely falling into the category you just want to scream and go, you're the president!
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just in case he doesn't get it.
I don't get it. Who knows? He tweeted, quote, they said I was probably going to be named person of the year like last year, but I have to agree to an interview in a major photo shoot. I said probably is no good and took a pass. Thanks anyway. Time refuted Trump's claim, tweeting, quote, the president is incorrect about how we choose person of the year. Time does not comment on our choice until publication, which is December 6th. He's obsessed with the cover of Time magazine, but he's the president. You don't need to be petty like that anymore.
Remember in some of his resorts, he has a cover of Time
the
magazine.
Fake Time magazine.
You get an amusement park, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's frustrating. Here are the 6 Thanksgiving foods and how long you can keep them in the fridge before they might make you sick. Ah. Important. Turkey, 3 to 4 days. Only 3 to 4 days. So even if you have it in a vacuum sealed, whatever, if it's cut up and stored in a shallow container, it might last a little longer, but turkey is risky. So be aware of that.
Oh, wow.
I think you can tell because turkey stinks after a couple
of days. Turkey lasted for a good month.
Well, you can freeze it.
No. Well, you can freeze anything, right? Number 2 is homemade gravy. Only a day or two.
Dang.
So it's definitely time to throw it out.
They haven't been in a Latin household.
Stuffing also.
What does that mean?
Iron stomachs.
Oh, okay.
Keep the gravy.
We'll just keep rolling as long as it's around.
Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Oscar. Here's your gravy.
The whole notion of leftover gravy in my family is like science fiction. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist anyway. Stuffing 3 to 4 days. That surprises me. I would think that would last longer. Mashed potatoes 3 to 5 days. Rob doesn't want any more anyway. Too many potatoes this week.
Right? We had a few no-shows, and I bet we were left with about 10 and a half to 11 pounds of mashed potatoes.
Oh my God.
And that's a lot.
What do you do? Did anybody make potato pancakes the next day?
We flirted with that. We had a lot of meals that involved potatoes the next few days.
Well, it's 3 to 5 days. That's all. And the same goes for green bean casserole. Pumpkin pie, 3 to 4 days. These are all
pie
shorter
season.
Time frame.
Mm.
Yeah, pie season. Apple pie lasts a little longer. You can leave it out for 2 days, then put it in the fridge for another 2 days. Cranberry sauce is the big winner. It's the one Thanksgiving food that does keep for a while. The sugar acts as a preservative, so you can leave it in the fridge for up to 2 weeks and still eat it.
That is, boy.
Yes.
Do you have any two-week-old cranberry sauce? I'm starving.
Delish. A guy named King Kaying Major in Macomb, Mississippi, just posted an item for sale on Facebook. I don't know if you get a chance to see this. It is a slightly used coffin. That's right. He said it was buried for 3 years, but they, quote, just pulled it back up because we decided to go a different route.
Oh, no.
I guess that means they took the person out of it and cremated them.
Sure.
Maybe. I hope that's what it means. Anyway, he's asking $200 for the coffin.
That's a deal.
As far as we know, he hasn't had any offers yet. Hey, it is the time of year for bargains. So if you
local pickup only.
That's right.
Yeah, local pickup only. Where are you going to meet him when you have that?
Do you have something to stop this coffin?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a little something, something. I love this story. A self-taught rocket engineer who claims he believes the Earth is flat.
Sure.
Plans to launch himself nearly 2,000 feet in the air on a homemade steam rocket this Saturday.
Mm.
Get some video.
Did you say a steam rocket?
A steam rocket.
Just
That's
wanted
what
to be
the story
clear.
Says.
Yeah, okay.
Mad Mike Hughes is a 61-year-old.
80-year-old limo driver. He told the Associated Press that he'll be lifting off over the California ghost town of Amboy. Why do I think that's somewhere in Northern California?
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He'll be traveling about 500 miles per hour. He'll be traveling about a mile, and he will reach an altitude of 1,800 feet, and then he will exit the steam rocket via parachute. And would you like to hear the quotes from this guy?
I'd love it.
I don't believe in science, said Hughes. I know about aerodynamics and fluid dynamics and how things move through the air, about the certain size of rocket nozzles and thrust and whatnot. But that's not science. That's just a formula. There's no difference between science and science fiction. Yeah! He then continued to eat his delicious chocolate pie, which coincidentally was 1 mile wide. Yes. He'll be landing on that. There you go. I don't believe in science. Earth is flat. I don't care what they say. I'm an American.
Steam.
We'll take a break. Steam. Steam rocket. Steam rocket. Jimmy Kimmel is taking off this week, and rather than have Jimmy Kimmel live on air with a bunch of repeats, he's having a celebrity guest host take his seat each night. Shaq hosted last night. He talked to Mila Kunis and Aisha Tyler. The musical guests were Ty Dolla and I don't need the list. Sorry. Tonight it's Dave Grohl.
Hey, tomorrow a little night, love for Ty Dolla, please.
Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. Channing Tatum hosts tomorrow night. Thursday, Jennifer Lawrence. Jimmy was planning to take the week off so his son Billy could have a second heart surgery. I wish him the very best with that. But the family ended up battling colds, so they postponed it. They're still taking the week off. Obviously, Jimmy will be back next week, and we wish them
I like that idea.
I do, too.
Right? It's that's what Carson used to do. You have celebrity
absolutely. Yeah. Carson was known for it, to get to, like, Joan Rivers and Don Rickles. All those people in there. A survey asked people about different Halloween costumes and what they think each one says about the person who's wearing it. Here are six costumes and what people think they say about you.
All right.
A superhero. 42% think it means you're athletic.
Really?
Oh.
A pop culture inspired costume, like Oscar wore.
Yeah.
44% of people say you're probably a really good time. 23% of people said a scary costume, like a zombie or a mummy, is also a sign that you're a partier. Number three, I'm waiting to see where their drag is included in this. Number three, a historical figure.
This is only for
figure,
dressing up for Halloween, though, Mike.
For Halloween. A historical figure, 24% of people say it means you're a bookworm. Four, if you made your costume yourself, 20% of people think it means you're the therapist type who listens to their friends' problems. Number five, if you're wearing a political costume, 61% of people say it's a sign that you're a big sports fan.
Really?
I don't understand this. And number six, if you're dressing as a cop, firefighter, doctor, or nurse, 19% of people think you're probably the serious one in your group of friends. That makes no sense to me. No. I think
I've
you're
seen
just
some
trying
cops
to find a
with material that didn't look like it would fill a uniform for a little kid.
Yeah.
You know,
sexy cop. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the Saturday Night Live after the horrible David S. Pumpkin special. They did a 1 hour retrospective of some old Halloween sketches, and it still makes me laugh to see Barack Obama wearing a Barack Obama mask. When he took it off, that was worth the entire hour right there. I thought that was great.
A new survey asked more than 9,000 people to name their biggest fears, and fear of clowns didn't even make the top 10. Here's what did. Number 10, galeophobia. You know what that is?
No.
Fear of sharks.
Really?
Galeophobia.
Yeah, this is easy for Rob, probably. Entomophobia.
Entomophobia is a fear of donuts, isn't it? Entenmann's Donuts?
Fear of insects.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Entomologist, yeah.
Trianophobia.
Fear of the number 13?
Nope, fear of needles.
Needles, I see.
Ophidiophobia.
Ophidia. Is that spiders?
Fear of snakes.
Snakes, okay.
Glossophobia.
Fear of 8x10 photographs.
No. Fear of public speaking.
Oh, okay.
I have that.
Necrophobia.
Fear of dying.
Oh, that's yeah.
Thalassophobia.
Flaccid penis. Fear of that.
My penis. Fear of what's in my pants.
Fear of deep water. Claustrophobia. Fear of small spaces.
Small spaces.
Acrophobia. That's
fear
easy.
Of heights.
Fear of heights.
And arachnophobia. Come on.
Spiders.
There you are.
Fear of John Goodman movies.
Yes. Now, a little something, something, ladies and gentlemen. A guy in... Oh, let me do that.
Yeah, you didn't do your thing.
A guy in Marlboro, Vermont woke up around 3:30 a.m. Sunday and heard some noises in his spare bedroom. When he went to check on it, he found it was straight out of a nightmare. A random clown had broken into his house and was asleep in the bed.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The guy called 911, and the cops came and arrested the clown, who turned out to be 43-year-old Sean Barber. Sean Barber! He also happened to have cocaine on him, so he was arrested for unlawful trespassing and coke possession. The crime will henceforth be known as getting spiewhacked. There you go.
I'm called a hellfire, and I
we will take a break.
Fire.
The hardest thing for that clown was getting the cocaine up the red nose.
All right, here we go. Traditional day before Thanksgiving story about the most expensive Thanksgiving dinner. Here it is. The Old Homestead Steakhouse in New York City.
New York City!
Serving the world's most expensive Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow night. $181,000.
Hey.
You'd like to know what you get for the price?
Please.
Two gold-painted, gold-dusted, and gold-flaked free-range turkeys. A $1,200-a-pound Spanish bacon slab on top of candied sweet potatoes. $300-a-pound white cheddar cheese from the UK. Gravy infused with a $3,650 bottle of Louis XIII cognac. Ooh. Cranberry sauce featuring $250 per dozen Japanese strawberries. A seafood stuffing made with lobster and $1,600 per ounce caviar. Asparagus seasoned with $91 per ounce Korean salt. Potatoes made with $850 a pound European cheese, $150 an ounce French butter, and $1,000 per ounce truffles. Lots of expensive wines and champagnes, and a $50,000 seven-day yacht cruise afterwards, plus a $20,000 Black Friday shopping spree and four tickets to the Super Bowl.
That's terrific.
I really
and you know what's great?
Chokes at that dinner.
What's great is when you get on that yacht, you can your brains out.
That'll be completely free.
That's no charge.
And now a little something, something. There's a 27-year-old guy named Jason Savage from Middlesex County, New Jersey, and he worked at an HR company called Trinet. And earlier this year, he found a hidden camera on a urinal in the bathroom. Now, his boss is a guy named David Swerdloff, and he heard Jason talking about it. So this is what Swerdloff did. He runs into the bathroom, grabs the device, and he heads straight to his car so he could take the camera to the cops.
Right.
That's what he said.
That's what you do.
A few minutes later, David Swerdloff calls his employees to tell them he, quote, accidentally smashed the camera and, quote, he was in a state of panic when he threw it off an overpass.
What?
Oh, no.
What's going on? Swerdloff was fired after an HR investigation of the urinal cam. And since then, Jason, the guy that discovered it, says that Trinet has been trying to dig up dirt on him to punish him, too. Interesting.
Huh.
So he just sued Trinet. He wants a jury to decide on the damages, but after all that's gone on, Trinet will be changing the company name to Penis. That's it. That's what I was looking forward to all day. I can't.
Nice.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Worth the ride in.
The password is Penis.
Trinet is now Penis.
Penis.
The human resources company for a new generation.
Look for them on the New York Stock Exchange. PNS.
PNS.
Hey there. Are you still listening to this? Well, allow me to extend my most sincere appreciation. It is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show, and I am here listening with you, hosting the festivities. It's me, Rob Spiewak, and before we move on to the traditional closing to any episode of TMOS, the Audio Vault, or the Flip Side, or the Digital Dumpster, call it what you will, I need to remind you of something very important. www, full stop, TMOS Store, full stop, com. That's right. TMOSstore.com. That is your exclusive source for official Mike O'Mara Show merchandise. And you got to get it. I tell you what, the shirts are great. The hoodies are great. Oh, the mugs are great. And you are going to love our limited edition stickers. So please check it out. And you know what? I'm not going to betray any secrets here, but the holidays are coming. And if you have a TMOS fan in your life, you need to buy some of this stuff for them. And if you're a TMOS fan, and I have to assume you are, otherwise why are you listening to the best of, get yourself something. All the stuff is marvelous, and it is all happening at TMOSstore.com. Check it out. Now, let's move on and hit up this audio vault on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Men's socks and underwear, essentially the same for 50 years.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you that I have been a sock guy at Mack Weldon, and I am now a boxer brief guy due to my my frequent walking that I've been doing recently.
Nice. Very nice.
And I love Mack Weldon, and they've come up with another amazing innovation. Last year, they gave you commando underwear. This year, it even got more groundbreaking. Presenting, ladies and gentlemen. Give me that timpani.
Do it.
Presenting the all-new Mack Weldon downloadable socks.
Ooh. Wow.
Imagine a brand new pair of socks every day, no washing. Just left click on the sock icon and you're all set. Available in color or black and white depending on your printer. That's funny, Rob. It's a custom fit every time because you print the socks. Whether you're Windows or Mac, these socks rock. Just make sure you print in landscape mode. Watch out for paper cuts. And remember, if they get wet, they're ruined. Best of all, they're free. Available April 1st only. Print more, save more. Remember that name. MAC. Did you give me a fake spot?
Mack Weldon sent you an April Fool's Day spot.
MACKWELDON.com. And I read the whole damn thing and only got it at the end. Caution, extremely flammable. I'm a pro. Thank you, boys.
So
that's what you were talking about at the beginning, and you got all quiet, you bastards. I'm throwing that. And then Rob and I had the big, long discussion about printing that up.
No, don't print that new one up.
Got to be the new one. It's only good today.
Thank you, and S-A-D, Mack Weldon. That's what I have to say to you, S-A-D. That's
print your
fantastic.
Socks.
Fantastic. I love that. Printable socks.
Oh,
fantastic.
God.
When Bill called me with that yesterday, yeah. I said, that's fantastic. Fantastic.
I
Mike,
love that.
You know what? You forgot. Shame on you.
What?
You forgot what today is.
April means Stephen Sondheim.
Welcome to the
that's
theater.
Right.
To the
it's
magic. To the
April.
Fun.
It's Sondheim on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike, today we go back to 1962 and a show that was not doing well in previews until they wrote this opening number and it became a Broadway classic, Zero Mostel.
Oh,
from
let's
Forum.
Something familiar, something peculiar.
Hi,
Oscar. Something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Something appealing, something appalling. Something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Nothing with King
Zero.
All right, thank you very much.
Hey, you
that's
know what
April
I didn't know
Sondheim.
About it? What I didn't yes. know about it is that the book, the dialogue in A Funny Thing Happened Away of the Forum, co-written by Larry Gelbart, who would go on to create MASH.
Yeah, so a lot of brilliant writers with that.
Really a good show.
Mike, with that show. And yes,
do you know when Rob's really into something?
Yes.
Really, really into his tell?
Yes,
is when
absolutely.
He has Dude Walker do the voice
I know,
for something.
I know, and he asks
Nothing
Dude
else.
To do another.
Nothing
How
else.
Much did you pay Dude for that?
Oh, you know what? We have a standing deal, and you know that. But you know what? What I was shocked you didn't mention is that in the middle of the Dude element was the great Lauren Bacall. Listen.
April. Stephen Sondheim.
Welcome to the theater, the magic, to the fun.
It's Sondheim on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh,
will we get another?
Yeah.
Will we get another tomorrow?
Every day.
He's going to do it every day.
Every day.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
It's actually fun.
So there is a segment, and I mean a small segment, but there is a segment of our audience. I think Rob's going to get rave reviews.
Hi, bro.
April,
I really
April
hope that, and I hope that I bring you a factoid every day. That is my hope. As
oh,
your
my.
God, yeah. Go for it.
As your sommelier of Sondheim.
Go for it, boy.
Mike, do you know that it has been 27 years since you pulled, a lot of people mentioned on Facebook this week, Tats for Tots, the April Fool's book that we did where we pretended to give the kid a tattoo.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot
but
of fun.
It's been 27 years since you did my favorite April Fool's joke. I just want to play a moment of this because I do love it.
Listen, folks, I thought we ought to explain what's going down here. It's April Fool's Day. The fact is that Don and Mike are on thin ice. Alan Goodman called and said, listen, they've alienated everybody. They have made enemies of everybody. They are idiots. They are immature. We need a grown, mature adult, someone that can bring the proper approach to Power 105, and that's why I'm here. And with that, I say good morning on wonderful WAVA. This grown, mature adult is here on Power 105 to do what it was put on earth to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I was born to be wild.
The late, great George Michael.
So great.
Popped in for Don and myself on April Fool's.
I love George
did our
Michael.
Morning show, and it was so special, and George was so into it because George was a DJ back at WABC, another great station. So to have him come in and do that, and he was just
a lot of fun.
One in a million. One of those old, back when local news fostered strong, vibrant, incredible personalities, and it wasn't the terrorized land of safe that it is now with the male models. It really was a different era.
Magical moments between him and Jim Vance, and I remember high school.
We had great ones. We had George Michael and Glenn Brenner.
Oh my God.
On two different stations back in the day in Washington, D.C., and they're both unfortunately gone, and I think that sucks. That really, really does. We had great sportscasters, and they were fun to watch. George was more, you know, straight ahead, but had a real big personality. And Glenn Brenner, you would watch Glenn Brenner, not for sports, you'd watch Glenn Brenner for Glenn Brenner. And I wish we had that in local TV news. It's gone.
It's gone
because everybody is over-consulted, and it's the land of
vanilla,
safe.
Vanilla.
I don't think we'll ever get it back.
And here's the thing, okay? And then I just wanted to, we should have talked about this totally, but, and then Comedy Central decides to rush to replace Jon Stewart, and they step on their D's by bringing the pretty young boy in, who is an ass. And I don't know how they're going to punch their way out of this one, but
every joke can be funny.
But I mean, how about what happened to paying your dues? What happened really
no time
coming
for that,
up through
Mike.
The ranks?
The only thing that I foster a little bit of hope is that if Jon Stewart stands behind this guy, and apparently he does,
Jon Stewart's
there
being
must
a
be
company
something.
Guy.
Hopefully,
and he owns the part of the show.
Yeah, he does.
He needs it to succeed.
Yeah,
and those checks come in every week.
All right,
I don't understand the hire because I mean, all I've seen of this guy is the one time I watched the episode live when this guy came on, and I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, where's the funny?
Well, we won't find out until he comes on.
I'm sick and tired of people giving the president a hard time about the way he talks.
Okay.
Oh, you know, there's that anonymous op-ed piece that published in the New York Times. He talked about it yesterday, and he refers to the fact that it's anonymous.
The latest act of resistance is the op-ed published in the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an anonymous, gutless coward.
Now, a lot of people think he's...
Well, play that again, please.
All right. He's really not mispronouncing anonymous.
No, stop for the whole thing. Remember when he did the United States?
Yeah, God bless the United States. Here he is with anonymous.
The latest act of resistance is the op-ed published in the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an anonymous.
For sake of comparison, Mike.
God bless the United States.
But I don't think there's a problem here because what he's doing, he's not trying to say anonymous. He's actually saying that he's a big fan of The Muppet Show. You see, here's what happened.
Anonymous.
See, there's nothing wrong with him. He's fine.
These are interesting times. Yeah, I'll never forget.
I heard
forget
Chuck
this.
Todd this morning on WTOP, our local news station here in the DC area.
I'd love to get Chuck back on this show. That'd be so much fun.
He said, and I'm sure you covered this on Political Persuasions, that you, for the first time in history, have, regardless on whose camp you're in, have the people on the inside essentially laying down what could be possibly a soft coup from the inside out.
Uh-huh.
And you have the people on the outside saying, what is happening?
Yeah, it's
and
creepy.
There's a surreal. There's a great article in Esquire. I didn't put this on my page because we're just inundated with it. I mean, I'm really, this is me talking. As someone who likes to occasionally get political on my Facebook page, there is a great article, an editorial in Esquire about this guy that wrote the op-ed, and it's kind of saying, F you, just step off. You know, what did you think you were getting? And come out and you know, and what he believes is that the person that wrote this op-ed is just trying to do, it's a full CYA, so that they can come out after the fact.
Oh, because, they said, because this administration, told everybody.
Yeah, because this administration is ultimately the perception with inside.
Sure.
Inside, I'm sure a lot of them is going to go off the rails, that this person is kind of covering their
his
own
ass.
There's a lot of speculation.
Oh, I never thought
50,
about
50.
That. That's like, well, no one save myself now by writing this.
No one's come out and said brave about this op-ed.
Oh, no.
Nobody said that.
This is the equivalent of writing yourself a letter and mailing it to yourself so you can open it later and prove something.
And there, you know, there.
True.
Make no mistake, we talk about it on Political Persuasions. There are three or four people within the organization at the New York Times that know who this is. So this person had to be, you know, they let the people at the Times know. You just can't write this and send it to the Times
without knowing who it is.
He was completely vetted. Yeah. It's a strange world, man.
All right.
Very, very strange.
Welcome back to the NFL. Big game last night, Philadelphia and Atlanta. One of the thumbs up, the national anthem. Did you hear it? Boys to men.
Didn't watch the game.
Listen to just a taste of this harmony. This is great. Like the fact that they're still Boys to Men, even though they're all about 70 now. But the harmony is still there. I loved it.
Great.
Now, question, while we have Boys to Men in the background, let's say you're a football team with a great fan base and you reach the pinnacle. You're Super Bowl champions. Football champions of the world. How long does that keep you in good graces with your fan base?
I imagine at least a year.
No, the answer is two quarters of football, because Philly actually booed the Eagles going into halftime last night.
Halftime score is 6-3. You watch. Well, the boo birds are out. Love is a fleeting thing.
I was so conflicted last night when one of my favorite things is with one of my least favorite things. But Paul McCartney was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon talking about his new album, Egypt Station, out yesterday. Great album. Now, what happened is Jimmy Fallon showed him one of his records from when Jimmy Fallon was growing up. And he had written a fan letter to Paul McCartney, but used the album as like a desk.
Oh, wow.
So you could see the imprint of the letter in the album.
Wow.
And when they showed it, you could see Jimmy Fallon's boyhood phone number. And so they called Jimmy Fallon's boyhood phone number, and this is how it went down. Paul McCartney, 70-something years old now, still a great sense of humor.
The TextNow subscriber you were trying to reach is not available. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney here. I'm looking for Jimmy Fallon. If you see him, tell him to give me a call, will you? Thank you.
Can you imagine getting that voicemail? That would be so great.
Anyway.
Here's a comedy bit that works, Mike. Jimmy Kimmel last night, you know, I love when they go out and do the man on the street stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a new game that they're playing on the street. People aren't seeming to get the rules. They're pretty easy.
Excuse me. Don't talk into this mic and win $10.
Yeah, sure. Why not? What do you want to do?
Don't talk into this mic and win $10. Do you understand? You got the rules of the game?
Well, just from what you described.
So close. I'm sorry. Don't talk into this mic and win $10.
What?
Excuse me. Don't talk into this mic and win $10. Do you want to play?
No, I gotta go.
Sorry, you just lost. So close. Don't talk into this mic and win $10.
Too much.
Oh, sorry, you just lost. If you don't talk into the mic, you win $10. Do you want to try again?
Again, yeah.
Are you ready? You just lost again.
Nobody won.
Seldom does something happen on morning TV so good that I feel I must call Mike in on the way to work. But I did today because Rand Paul and his curious haircut was on the Today Show, and they paired him with Savannah Guthrie. And I think that was a bad pairing, Mike. I think that sort of should have been a Matt Lauer interview. Your thoughts?
Two things on Rand Paul.
Two things.
I am interested in this man because
when he gives a speech, he says things that interest me. I know he's a libertarian. I know he is extremely right-wing in some of his beliefs, but I am curious about it.
Love
and
it
I'm not
it.
Curious about anybody else that's out there. The second part of it is that hair. And I am sorry, I still think that hair needs to be addressed. If he is going to be a legitimate candidate for president, he's going to have to explain it and show what he does.
What if we
tell us if it's real or
pulled
not.
It back a little?
Maybe some relaxer.
He goes between, when he made his announcement, I watched most of his speech
from Kentucky
when he made the opening speech in, I believe, Lexington. And he was doing the dry look, and I was okay with that. He came out on the Today Show today, and he had the wet look.
Do you think it was wet, or was he just sweaty?
No, he does the wet look quite a lot.
He puts product, yeah.
He does the wet look, and the wet look screams at me, I'm not just the president, I'm a client. That's what it that's what it tells me.
I think you're with it. I think you're right. Anyway, he was on with Savannah Guthrie this morning, and this one particular exchange I thought was just a great example of broadcasting and one that should be taught in our colleges.
And you once offered to drastically cut defense spending, and now you want to increase it 16%. So I just wonder if you've mellowed out.
Why don't Leah let me explain instead of talking over me, okay? Before we go through a litany of things you say I've changed on, why don't you ask me a question? Have I changed my opinion
on that? Have you changed your opinion?
That would be a better way to approach an interview.
Okay. No. Is Iran
you've editorialized. No. Listen, you've editorialized. Let me answer a question.
And that's when he won the election.
Look, I didn't like the way she did that. I didn't think she needed to go that route with him, but I thought he was hyper defensive.
Yeah,
and
very much
so. You can't go into a national television forum and have that attitude and expect presidential credibility. You can't.
Especially since it's your first interview. It is his
Absolutely.
First big interview.
It might work on Fox, but it's not going to work on a major network.
You can't scream through that. They teach you to bring your own agenda if you're on the outside looking in, right?
Right.
He tried to bring it to... too clumsily.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And you know, a great example of a guy that's probably been slammed by NBC and he comes on the show and he's fine with it is John McCain. John McCain
does a great job.
Reserved,
kills,
collected, and he will battle with them, but he will only do it when they get done asking their questions.
And tactfully done. Tactfully done,
too. Yeah, it looked like it made them both look lightweight.
Yesterday, two deaths, one to me exponentially sadder than the other. Stan Freberg was 88 and he passed away. He was a radio voiceover advertising writing legend. Here's a little montage. You'll know his voices. He did a lot of Warner Brothers cartoon voices, but never got credit because Mel Blanc's contract said voices are by Mel Blanc. Mm. So even when other people did voices in the cartoons, you didn't see him. So you'll hear one of his commercials here, a couple of his cartoon voices, and also a great parody he did of Dragnet. Here's Stan Freberg.
One half of his lawn has been eaten by a sheep. The other half cut with a Jacobson power mower. How long did it take the sheep to eat that half of your lawn?
Well, he's still eating. I'd say he's been working on it now for about 6 weeks. He's neat, but he's not too fast.
And how long for the Jacobson mower to cut this half?
12 minutes.
Proof positive that the Jacobson mower is faster than sheep.
I am a good speller, I am. C-A-T, dog. B-A-T, Rhode Island.
I'm Mrs. Rabbit, the little fellow's mother. And I've been so worried about him.
The three little pigs were really gassed. They'd never heard such a corny blast.
We played in the West.
We played in the East. We've heard the most, but you're the least.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him.
If you want,
that's when he was really young when he did that.
Yeah,
right?
That's like early 50s. You want to have a blast? Surf some Stan Freberg on YouTube.
That's fun. That's good. Nice tribute to him.
And
Rob,
just three more real quick clips. He was so great at skewering pop culture of the 50s. He once said, "My records aren't released; they escape because Capitol would have a hard time releasing his stuff." Here he is versus who was very popular at the time, Lawrence Welk.
What is that noise there? The bubble machine. Turn off just a moment. Hold it just a moment, please. Turn off the bubble machine.
And also one of the greatest stabs at Elvis ever.
That'll be so lovely. I could die. Could I have a little more echo on my voice? Oh, it's always crowded. That's got it. You
and no one was doing that in 1956. Stan Freeberg.
Cool. No one's doing that now.
Very cool. We appreciate it. Here's another one you might not care for. James Best, I believe, also 88, who was a noted acting teacher.
You got to pause on that one.
No, hold I don't.
On. Can't. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right, go
I
ahead.
Love you, Ron.
I know. Oh, he also, but this guy, he was a noted acting teacher, but he made his money playing Roscoe P. Coltrane on the Dukes of Hazzard. And okay. Anyway,
you're going to play a lot of him now, too?
No, I just want to play his laugh.
Okay, because I'm burned out.
That's how they close the show.
Oh, this was an icon. This guy.
Yeah, this was a guy.
No, he was an icon.
Stan Freeberg.
He was
not
a character.
So much,
Stan Freeberg did a lot of work, obviously. But all right, I'm not going to slam dead people. That's not what I'm gonna do. I don't know how I got in that position.
Now this is great. We have a P1, Chris Berenger, who has his kid listening to our podcast in his car seat.
I can't wait for this.
And this is so Carla cute. Showed me this yesterday.
This is so amazingly cute. Apparently, he likes when dude introduces Mike, and he does it twice here. Every time Dude says here, he yells Mike. One more time, I want you to hear it. That's Better Call Saul.
I hope Dude sees that.
I do too. I'll make sure he sees it. It's so cool.
Way to
and
go,
John Cryer, who seems to have great staying power based on the lack of talent, was on the Kelly Lee show yesterday with Michael Strahan.
He's got the new Odd Couple show, right?
No. He's not doing anything right now because Two and a Half Men is gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're thinking of Matthew Perry.
Two different guys.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a very funny moment brought up when he was working with Ashton Kutcher on Two and a Half Men. It was brought up that in the day, John Cryer dated Demi Moore.
From my understanding, you had a fling with Demi Moore. But I'm curious, how did that go over when you first started working with Ashton Kutcher on Two and a Half Men?
It was a little bit awkward because she and I had dated when he was seven. So...
Want more? Make sure you check out The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.